Let me welcome our brother, Brother John, to take us in the Bible reading for the day.
Praise the Lord. We are reading from Numbers 14, from verse 11 to 34. Our reading today is from Numbers 14, from verse 11. We'll stop at verse 34. I'm reading from the New American Standard, American Standard Version. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them. I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they." But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for by your strength you brought up these people from their midst. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of these people. For you, O Lord, are seen eye to eye, while your cloud stand over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you slay these people as one man, then the nation who have heard of your fame will say, 'Because the Lord could not bring these people into the land he promised them by oath, therefore he slaughtered them in the wilderness.' But now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generations. Pardon, I pray, the iniquity of these people, according to the greatness of your loving kindness, just as you also have forgiven these people from Egypt, even until now. The Lord pardons and rebukes." So the Lord said, "I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely, all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall be by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of these who spurned me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites live in the valleys. Turn tomorrow and set out the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, and set out to the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you say will become a prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses will fall in this wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. According to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you will know my opposition." Praise the Lord.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. And let's take the declaration of understanding as we begin to study as follows. 1, 2, let's go. Now I declare, the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. His word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Now that's the most important thing, to make you more and more like the Lord Jesus. And that will happen again today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anger. You know, there's this kind of anger you can't control. It will drop from somebody today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to me. There's a kind of confusion that comes upon your mind once in a while, making you make erratic decisions. It will drop from you today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That word that is going to come forth, it will heal your diseases.
Amen.
It will heal every mental disease.
Amen.
Let me say that again. It will heal every mental disease.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Pain in the abdomen will disappear.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Unfruitfulness in different parts of life will disappear.
Amen.
Including in the body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus was teaching and the power of God was present to heal. That power is present this evening.
Amen.
It will heal every affliction.
Amen.
It will solve problems that you thought had no solution.
Amen.
It's not only what you pray about that God solves. The man that was beside the pool, I don't think he was praying about healing. He was frustrated, he had given up. Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? He didn't know who Jesus was. Yeah, Jesus made him whole. I hope you're getting my point. Sometimes, there was a woman serving the prophet very, very well and his servant. What do you need? She said nothing. Yet, God gave her what she wanted but did not have the boldness to ask for. That is what the word does. This evening, the word will solve a problem you are not even thinking about.
Amen.
A friend of mine told me he was supposed to die at a particular age. He never prayed about it. But once he encountered the Lord Jesus, that thing ended. And I'm saying to you, that will happen to you again today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are things you did not think about thinking about praying about. You get what I'm trying to say here? You're not thinking about it. It's not crossing your mind that this is my prayer point. God will give you a solution.
Amen.
One of our brothers sent a message in. I don't know who, but the testimony was interesting. He said, one day here we said, when you get home, lay your hands on the door and say, peace be upon this home. He said, he got there, he laid his hand on his door and said, peace be upon this house. He didn't think about his leaking roof. It was not a prayer point. That is like, it was a quarrel point between him and the landlord. Then after a while, I realized that the roof was no longer leaking. Ah, this roof was no longer leaking. And I said, wow, and I remember, oh, the last time it leaked was before he put his hand on the door and said, peace be upon this house. Listen, that peace of God will come upon you today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What am I saying? As we focus on the word of God this evening, God will do something spectacular in somebody's life.
Amen.
I don't know what He will do in each person's life, but one thing is sure. At the end of the day, you will know you have been visited by the Lord.
Amen.
Some people will be released into their own ministries.
Amen.
Ministry doesn't mean you go and open a church. It may be, I'm not saying. But suddenly, something that God wanted you to do all this while, you did not even know, to become clear to you. The day we went on radio, Kingdom Word, it was because I was waiting for my wife in church. Outside, she was having a meeting. And as I often do, I just put in a tape and I was listening to the message. As the word of God was coming, clarity was coming. It just became clear. I don't remember what the pastor said. All I know is that when I left that place, I said, listen, no, it's time to go on radio. And that time was so right. You know how I know? Since then till now, we have not had problems paying anybody. That was one radio station. Now we're on 16 radio stations. And we don't owe people. I hope you're getting my point. That first one, I gave the Lord glory. I'm not bragging. I had to dip my hand in my pocket to pay for the first, I think, 10 weeks. I've never had to do that. You know why I put my hand in my pocket? That was the only place where there was money. Kingdom World Ministries did not have the money. But God gave me some money because of a job I did for some time before that. I was teaching somewhere part-time. So they paid me after almost a year. So it came to some tidy sum. And it just was laid upon my heart to give a major part of it. Actually, part to bless the man of God who preached that message that day. All right? I gave the money almost all, apart from the small, less than 10%. I gave almost everything to three people. Partly to the man who preached the message that day that blessed me. Two, to the radio station. And three, to my earthly father. I still remember very well. The change that was remaining was like buy ice cream or something. That was the only one that my wife saw from inside. I hope you're getting my point. But do you know the truth? That is the last time I ever had to check my personal finances, whether I can use it to pay for Kingdom World. Forget. That was the last time. It never happened again. From that day till now. You know the truth? If we want to be on 32 radio stations now, we can. I hope you're getting my point. I'm just saying this to you, that how did this start? Some people say, you will sow one special seed. I did not sow a special seed. I listened to a special word. I hope you're getting my point. He said, but you gave an offering. I was not trying to do anything. After it was not Kingdom World that gave the offering. Okay. It was me as an individual. I hope you're getting my point. Uh-huh. But you see, what I did out of understanding. What I did, I was not trying to impress anybody. I was not trying to prove a point. I mean, I was the pastor of the ministry. Who am I trying to, climb forward to go and tell anything? But that day, I still remember, I sat in Hotel Presidential, inside my car, listening to a tape, using tapes those days. And when I finished, I said, no, the Lord is saying, it's time to get on radio. And from that place, we are blessed multitudes. What am I going to say? As you pay attention to the word, direction will come to you.
Amen.
Direction will come to you.
Amen.
This evening, direction will come.
Amen.
Don't let anybody distract you. Don't let anything distract you. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Just relax. Relax. Tell your neighbor, relax.
Relax.
Don't be in a hurry.
Don't be in a hurry.
Get ready to be blessed.
Get ready to be blessed.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats and get into the teaching for this evening. Our Bible reading, as you know, was taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Again, that's continuing where we read last time. Last time we read from the book of Isaiah, chapter what? 8, yes. Isaiah chapter 8. We read that last time. There are two things, the same thing we're taking from both of them. We just had to add this one to it today. Last time we introduced the subject. We're running off the series, Building Up Your Faith. And remember, we said there are a number of things we do deliberately. And this last one we are taking on today. So that's why we read those two portions. Now we're going to talk about the words that we speak. And these things are very important. We have to go on them again and again and again. Now, I never get tired of doing what I want to do. Reviewing those four areas. Okay? What are the four areas? Before we go over the four areas, remember, these are the actions we can take. Let me say something to us again. I said it about two meetings ago. That if anything appears hard in life, it's because we are not doing that which God wants us to do. Go and check it. If anything appears hard in life, it is because your own portion, you are not doing it. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. Following Jesus is, please get it clear. Don't misunderstand what I want to say here. It's actually easy for the person following. If you look at life in itself, it will appear difficult. But for the person following, it's not hard. But if you want to look at, let me give an example. I said the last time, we're talking about the person who fasted the longest in the Bible. And who's the person that fasted the longest? It was not here. I was having that quiz. Okay, let's have the quiz here. Who fasted the longest in the Bible? Who's the person? If you're a man of God, don't put up your hand, dude. Because it's very embarrassing. I've not met one person that knows. Yeah? Moses and Jesus, all right? Jesus, uh-huh. Moses, uh-huh. Okay, all right. Let's not talk too much about who. How long did the person fast for? Okay, 40 days, all right? But actually, it's not so. For time's sake, we'll get there. It's 80 days the person fasted. Moses fasted for 80 days. Now, when I read that, I realized I would never try in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are still trying, your head is not correct. Because you see, it should be clear to you that no human being can do that. When we're talking 40, we thought we could try. The day I found out that Moses did 80 days without eating or drinking. I'm not talking about not eating. He neither ate nor drank. He did 40 days in the presence of God. Then the Lord told him, get up in a hurry. He got downstairs. He saw what the people had done. He fell upon his face and he could not be consoled for another 40 days. 80 days non-stop, the man did not eat. He did not drink. I give up. I'm not going to try. If I want to fast and my stomach does crow, I tell my stomach, I'm going to cast out this crow. I will open the fridge, get one cup of something like juice or milk or Milo or, you know, just mix something and come out with one slice of bread. I will eat it, I will drink it, and continue the fast. That has not interrupted the fast. If you think it did, you're not a Christian. You're a Hindu. I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. Moses did 80 uninterrupted days. That's to let you know it's not human effort. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Elijah did 40 uninterrupted days. We also know it was not human effort. It was angelic effort. An angel came, fed him 2 rounds of food. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that to Mount Horeb. Now, 2 muscle, that is 2 rounds of food, 2, served by an angel. I hope you're following my point here. It was not his strength. So you don't follow God by your labor. You follow God by his own energy. It's what is called grace. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. One young girl in the church, I didn't see her personally, but the pastor of the church was telling me, the pastor's wife actually. I was very active in that church at that time. So when they were having a program in the church, they were fasting. Then during the fast, the girl collapsed. So they tried to revive her, and the woman, being a nurse, brought a bottle of soft drink and told the girl to take. The girl said, no, she wants to finish her fast. The woman said, if I mend you. It was a young lady. She said, if I jam you, come open your mouth and drink this thing. If it's our God, we answer you. Now listen, it's by divine energy. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus. The law, but Paul will tell you, I tried, I found myself unable to keep it. That was his own energy. But what is grace? By the grace of God, I am what I am. I hope I get my point here. That if I find myself keeping the law, it's not my energy. It's the grace of God working with me. Don't ever forget that thing. All right? So what God does is that we build our lives in some simple areas he has given to us. We may be talking about that again and again. The best example we have used is Mishael, Azariah, Ananiah, and their brother Daniel. They got into Babylon, and they said, we will not defile ourselves. And remember what we said? It was easy. That decision, young boys could take that decision. They were teenagers. They could take that decision, all right? At that age, they couldn't face Nebuchadnezzar. They could not face the fiery furnace. But they could say to themselves, in their room, boys, let's not do what they are doing in this place. Okay? And it was a matter of food. And they were, now listen to this. You must understand what I'm trying to explain. There was a matter of food and there were options. It was not you will go hungry. There were options. It's just what to eat and what not to eat. It's just that they will bring pork. Say, I don't eat. Sorry. It's against our religion. They will bring strong wine. He says, sorry, sir. We don't drink. They bring food that is sacrificed to idols. He says, sir, we would rather not participate. Can we just eat the bread that is left over? We walked yesterday in the bakery. We have some hard bread that the fat was not good enough for distribution. Is still remaining. Can we eat that? So he said, we're not going to die of hunger. And the man they were facing was a man they could talk to. It was not the king. It was a man that could reason with them. He listened to them. That is, it was, technically speaking, it was easy. Now, but that was when they got the strength. That was when they got the strength to stand in the day of the lion. That was where they got the strength to stand in the day of the fiery furnace. That was when they got the strength to face Nebuchadnezzar and say, bros, we can't bow. That was where they got the strength. But like I say, we've been saying for some time, many people want to eat in secret, eat in private, things that they are not supposed to eat. Then when it is time not to bow, and I say, I'm a Christian, I will not bow. Then when they blow small smoke and their beards fry, they bow. And I said, you said I shouldn't bow. Have they burnt you before?
Have they burnt you before? Have you been diseased and feels bad in this life? Have you been to where I've been to?
So I said, that was not the problem. The problem was not that fire. If you had refused to bow to food, I would have made you stand the fire. Do you get my point? Emphasis is, I would have made you stand. Let me just drop something again. Don't forget. Little things come to us in life. That's where we exercise ourselves. I hope I get my point. That's where we exercise ourselves. That is, little temptations, little trials. Not the big ones. The big ones, God will take care of them. He said he will not let any temptation come to you more than that which you are able to bear. And with everyone, he has provided what? A way of escape. You know, that scripture does not seem to tie with a lot of our experiences. If we think about it, you have been tempted with things that, men, you could not handle. And there was no way of escape. Let's tell yourself the truth. There was no way of escape, man. It appears like. And I thought about it for a long time. But I said, God doesn't lie. His apostles taught us the truth. The word is correct. You know what happens? Most of the things we call temptations, they are not temptations. They are the fruit of temptations we fell for long ago. You get what I said? Some things we call temptations. For example, you would think that facing the fiery furnace was a temptation for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It was not their time of temptation. It was a time of their glorification. It was a time of their vindication. It was a time that God wanted to show off himself in their lives. That was the time of their temptation. So what is the way of escape? That's to die. Do you get my point here? But why did they choose to die? It's simple. They passed the time of the real temptation. The real temptation, they passed the test. And it was a small thing. Sometimes, listen, in life, it's just about jobs. You won't die, just that you won't be rich. And really, that's actually easy. What's the big deal in not having the finest Toyota in town? What's the big deal about it? After all, OPE will carry your 59 visa. Is it? Oh my hell, anyway. There are plenty in town. They are advertising, you know, keke hailing services. They'll carry for 50, 100 naira. You get to where you are going, and trust me, you will not die. You will get there in one piece. I've taken a bike to go and preach before. It's not a big deal. And people were still blessed. I hope you're getting my point here. But so, now that's a simple temptation. So it's whether I'll get an expensive, that is, whether I'll get a high-paying job or I wouldn't. Death is not on the line. That is where we are tested first. A lot of us are waiting to be tested with 1 billion naira on this side and then a gun to your head on this side. And I said, temptation. Because I said, that's not the time of temptation. You failed that temptation 6 years ago. It's just today that it is manifesting. It's today that it is manifesting. I've used the matter of David to teach again and again. When David took Bathsheba, that was not the day of his trial. That was the day of his exposure. God wanted to expose him. Good enough to himself. Please, you must understand the way life is. God gives us simple things to do. The real temptation is the time of simple things. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. Now, let me tell you something about seeds. Seeds are usually small. The fruits usually big. One grain of corn is less than 1 centimeter across. But it gives you about 2 or 3 cobs that will mature on one stick, or one plant. All right? Giving you hundreds and hundreds. That's how life is. Both for good and for evil. If you plant the right seeds, when it will manifest for you, listen, Jesus one day will show up and say, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Why? Because I was hungry and you fed me. You? We've never met you before. He said, no. You see, that's what you don't understand. You did it to what? The least. The person that could not give you any reward. Now, but your reward is big before the whole universe. And the Lord is telling you, well done, good and faithful servant, for what you did in secret. That's the way it is. So, when God wants us to do great things, listen, great things and great falling also, both of them are spiritually powered. What do I mean? When people do great evil, something is inside them. Something is pushing them. All the things that Pharaoh did, God said it was not within his power to refuse to do them. Is that not in your Bible? He said, go and tell him, let my people go, but don't worry about it, won't let them go. He said, why won't he let them go? Won't he fear you? God said, I've hardened his heart. That is, Pharaoh's inability to let the people go was divinely engineered. The power to refuse was supplied by God. People who don't understand God, they want to explain him away. One day, I thought about it. If God allows me, I'll do a series on God the judge. Just talking about God the judge. God said to Pharaoh, to Moses, go and meet Pharaoh to tell my people to go. He said, but let me tell you on the other side, he won't let them go. I will do might. How can a man withstand your strength like that? He says, because I will harden his heart, making it impossible for him to let them go. Let me say the good side. When a man also does good, it's also the power of God. What am I going to say? It's in little things that our personal powers and our personal choices matter. It's in the little things that our own personal powers, do you get what I'm trying to say here? And in making choices, in little things they matter, not in the big things. By the time it gets to big things, you've made your choice long ago. One of the things that used to scare me those days, I've not thought about it for a while, so I've not been afraid for a while in that area, is that what you will become later as an old man, you made those decisions when you were in the 20s, your teens, you know, as a 12-year-old, 20-year-old. And now you're hitting 30. You've decided what you will be when you are 80. Only fine-tuning, little corrections can be made. This will scare me. I will sit down and be thinking, God, I hope we made the right choices. So, and these choices are not great things. So, not, I have decided I'm going to be an astronaut. I have decided I'm going to be the president. They now quote for you that, is it Barack Obama? He met John F. Kennedy when he was a little boy, and that one shook his hand or something like that. No, it was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. He met JFK as a little boy and shook his hand. And then, I watched him in Russia at that time. And one little Russian boy asked him that question and told the boy to come forward. And he shook the boy's hands. Listen, many people shook presidents' hands, they are dead. Many people shook presidents' hands, they are in prison. They ain't going to ever be president. Jacob didn't, what's his name? Joseph didn't shake anybody's hand. It was knock he collected from his brothers on his head. Whose hand did he shake? He invented certain tax systems that the world still using till today. So that's not what I mean. I mean little things like, this will surprise you. How you share money that they give to you between you and your friends, your brothers, your sisters, little things like that. How you realize that whatever I'm doing in secret, God is watching it. People around may not see it. I'm talking about you, a young man, young woman. Then it's time to go and write work. And everybody is cheating. Or you decide that your parents should give you money to go and do your exam in a special center. Some people have written exams. The exam is not a big deal. But God said, this guy put a glass over his head. He will never cross this level. And he would not tie to cheating during work. That is why God has to dig up some things for people. All he just wants him to say is, I'm sorry. Because that's the only remedy. To just say, I'm sorry. To allow the blood of Jesus to wash things away. The blood of Jesus washes things away. I'm not here to scare anybody. He does. He forgives. He forgives iniquity. But just for you to understand spiritual principles. And that is why, let me say something to you. That is why, as a Christian, you cannot willfully sin and tell the blood of Jesus to wipe it away. That one does not work. So no, that might just annoy me. Let me tell you one or two things I'll confess later. It's the word of God, I will say it now. You will go through what they call the just recompense or reward for disobedience. That forgiveness is not free. Listen, what I'm about to say, or what I'm saying now, very few preachers say it. The day I told my wife, she almost panicked. We're driving, I'm just reading scriptures. She said, what about? I said, get that thing. You knew it was wrong. You open your eye bold with the intention to tell God sorry after. Because I will forgive you. But not free. This is what happened to David. He took Bathsheba. That was forgivable. It was bad. But we forgive him. Then, they now set him up. Bathsheba became pregnant. David now began to plot cover-up. That cover-up was not forgiven. The adultery was forgiven. The cover-up, God did not just disappear like that. You know, God told him that I have forgiven you, your iniquity has been washed away. You know, that's what the Lord told him. He said, nevertheless. Ay! May God not tell you nevertheless. When God gave him the judgments that will come, let me tell you the truth, for cover up. The one that confesses will be forgiven. But the one that covers his iniquity. By the time David was saying, sorry, sir. So, let me say something to you. At that point for him, it was too late. That is, we'll forgive you, but this one, this forgiveness this time is not free. It's not free. So what will happen? Said the sword will not depart from your house. Huh. Nathan said, I've not finished. What you did in secret, they will do it to you openly. I thought you finished. Nathan rubbed the back belly. God will give you grace to bear it. But this one is not free. The Bible says, if we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. I'm not the one that said I'm quoting scriptures for you. I don't like it too. Don't, if you think I like the scripture I'm quoting, I also don't like it too. Me and you are on the same side. I've tried to wipe it from my Bible. It still shows up every time. I've looked for the Greek rendering that really doesn't say that. I've looked for the Hebrew translation that explains the real meaning. I've seen people say things like, God, we're not going to punish anybody because Jesus has been punished already. Amen. I said, your Bible does not contain revelation, Abby. Me too, I don't like the scripture, the one I'm quoting for you. But you know what I found? It's inside the scriptures. He said, if we, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, we now willfully continue. He said, that one, there's no more sacrifice for such sins. I'm still getting the understanding of it. God has different ways he solves them. What he did to David is what I'm just telling you. He took David and dealt severely with him. Next time they saw David, next time they told David, come and see woman. David warned the person, say, what's your problem? I can imagine him telling the person, God will do more to you than he did to me if you bring that matter up again. You know how I know? As an old man, he was not able to keep warm. They carry a whole girl, put beside him. David. They told the girl, don't worry. Oga has learned the dangerous lessons of life. So when Oga wants to sleep, the girl will wrap him up and they will sleep peacefully. David. The younger David. The one you didn't give him, he collected. You now give him this one. And he's there sleeping. We usually think because he's too old and too tired. No, I think he was spiritually wise. He said, bros, now some man they take die, leave him. And no one die. He had learned his lesson. He suffered. You know what happened to him? His son raped his daughter. It was his fault. That's why he didn't say anything. Before I used to wonder, why didn't he say anything? He knew it was not the boy's fault. It was my fault. That's what David was saying. The Absalom turned around and killed the boy. And he told Joab, deal, of course, he didn't do anything to Absalom. Absalom ran away. Then when the Absalom came back, he took him back. The Absalom plotted rebellion. He told Joab, deal kindly with the lad, for it is my fault. What is it literally say? For my sake. But he understood it was his fault. Absalom took all his concubines, all right, slept with them on the rooftop so that all Israel would be able to report. The idea, according to Ahithophel, was to strengthen the arms of the rebels. What did David said? Say? Nothing. A man was cursing him on the way. Let me remove the head of this dog. His men said to him. He said, no, if God has said they should curse, who am I to say they shouldn't curse? This is, the man was understanding what he was going through. That was punishment for the cover up. Now, I'm just going to explain something here. I'll get back to my message. I've not lost track at all. So, believers, let's walk in the fear of God. I just feel like dropping that. Let's walk in the fear of God. God forgives sins. Amen. Amen. All our sins of previous years, they have been washed away. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Is that here an amen?
Amen.
But the ones, we cannot say because of that, we will not continue in sin, knowing that what we are doing is wrong and hoping on his forgiveness. That is what is called mocking God. That's called mockery. You are mocking God, he does not accept it. He does not accept mockery. So, back to what we're saying. What we do is in small areas. The great things of life, either for good or for bad, we sow small seeds to get there. So we need to be attentive to the seeds that we sow on a regular basis. We need to be attentive to the seeds that we sow on a regular basis. Go out of your way to do what is right deliberately. Listen, let me say it to us. I'm going to go back, get down maybe to that again today or maybe somewhere along the line. Okay? Remember, Christianity is self-denial. What did I say? Christianity is what?
Self-denial.
Is what?
Self-denial.
Let me tell you the meaning of self-denial. It means sometimes you will lose something and you won't fight for it. It means sometimes you will want something and you will never get it. That's the meaning of self-denial. That's what it means to walk in self-denial. I said it last time, who are the destiny destroyers? They are those who reduce your ability to deny yourself. Jesus said it clearly. You have to do what? Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. What it means is that in life you will have natural advantages. And sometimes you will see you can't use that advantage. That's what is called self-denial. Self-denial means that, yes, this is what you would have loved to do. It's nice and sweet to go this way in life. But you have made up your mind you will live for something greater than material comfort or personal achievement. Watchmani himself, he had to drop out of a PhD program for him to a self-denial. Having a PhD is not bad. I hope you're getting my point. But for him, it was self-denial. Maybe God looked at him and said, what are you pursuing this for? Pride, human pride. Come out of it. One major problem we have had with the gospel of faith that we have preached for a long time is that it has been used to service our flesh. It's been used to service our flesh. It's so easy to take what is true and corrupt it. It's very, very easy. All you need to do is put wrong motive inside. Once you put a pinch of wrong motive into that which is true, you make lies out of it. Recently, we heard what happened. Our big brother, when he came out and said that, now, please, let's not misunderstand him. He wasn't saying that he does not believe in prosperity as prosperity. He was saying the gospel of prosperity that they were preaching. He said the Holy Spirit is tired of it. And he told us what he meant. Give this to get this. Give this to get this. Of course, I only laughed. It was later I realized that, God is actually answering our prayers. I said, are these the things we've been praying about? I said, I didn't connect it initially. I just laughed because you've heard me long enough to say I never believed that thing one day. It was preached to me over 26, no. It was preached to me around 1989, 30 years ago. I tried to believe it. The Lord said no. And he made it clear to me that these things are not correct. I read a book in which it was written. I wanted to operate it. The Holy Spirit just sent two angels, frustrated that boy. They did very well. I was a student at university. One brother said, tithe, and then you will never be broke again. I was not broke before. My parents were doing their best. I tithed once, I became broke. I said, forget that thing. Now, listen, my doctrine was not based on my experience. Yeah, they said that, prove me now. I said, brethren, this is not in line with the grace you guys taught us now. They said, no, prove me now. I said, okay, prove me now. Okay, bros, how do we prove him now? We proved him now. God said, no problem. She now proving him me now. Now in a day now. Nothing spoiled. And the Lord released, you know, they say he will do what? Rebuke the devourer. In my case, he released the devourer. And I went back to the brother who preached it to me. I said, bros, let me tell you what happened. He said, no, you see, when you plant a seed, the enemy, I said, God, you said, prove him now. After I said that, and I just said, bros, forget that. I'm not even, it took me about 2 years to finally come to conclusion on the truth. I don't want to preach it now. But from that time, I rejected it initially because it was not in line with the gospel of grace. And of course, I kept on studying over the years. I have been to services of men that I respected. They will come to that point. I will say to myself, no man knows everything. Let me forgive a guy in this area. I will not even agree. I've been to places before. They are taking off. I remember the one I went to was one big church in Enugu here. Doing a major program. I went there. One man was preaching. So my friend we went with, I tapped her. I said, sis, what's going on? He said, he's raising money. I said, what? Must he tell lies? She started laughing. I said, we're sitting in front, you know, pastor section. I said, he wants to raise money. Must he lie about it? Do you know, right there and then, I just looked, they had a church account number somewhere. I put on my phone, put it on flight, that is, make it silent. So I needed to use my banking app. Offering time. I transferred a decent offering, put it off. I said, this guy, why is he lying? I forgot his lie. I gave my offering because they were doing something which I thought was good. I said, but why must people lie in the name of God when they want to collect money? So I see nothing wrong with people taking offering for good things. You may say, why don't you do it? It's not been necessary. If it's necessary, I will do it. If you know what I mean. But I will not lie one bit. In fact, was it last year? We took an offering for a project, a mission project. I said, I'm taking 3 announcements. Nothing wrong with it. But I don't lie to anybody. But this is where I'm going. All right? Now, I believe in prosperity. Ben-Hinn just said that the way they were going about it was not right. And that's when I say I never believed all this while. Put down $1,000 seed and put a demand on it. One man came up to rebuke Ben-Hinn, not really rebuke, to challenge Ben-Hinn, a bishop. When I finished this, a friend of mine sent me the clip, the link, YouTube. I downloaded the video. I watched it about 3 times. The more I watched it, the angrier I got. He was challenging Ben-Hinn to come and reply him based on scripture, the way I have done. I said, okay, you know, you have misquoted all the verses of scripture you are using. Out of context, you use them. And he said, Ben-Hinn should answer you. He said, I was sick. My mother said, plant $1,000 seed and put a demand on that seed. I'm healed today. I said, you see, Jesus did not heal you. Jesus does not do anything for free. He said, one other pastor that Ben-Hinn rebuked. He said, if you accept that rebuke, you have denied the blessing of God in the life of your son who was in trouble, and you put down $1,000 seed. Now he's a minister in your pulpit today. Did you see how Jesus has, his glory has been collected? $1,000 seed, Jesus couldn't be found. The women said, where have you laid him? Did you carry my Lord? Where have you kept him? Exactly how I was feeling. I feel like calling the man and say, sir, let's go through this, your testimonies. Did you notice that Jesus is absent beginning to the end? He said, seed time and harvest shall not cease. I said, what is the seed? What is the harvest? That's what we're asking. It's not that I'll give money and you'll be healthy. That's nonsense. Give money and you'll prosper is not the word of God. And there was one scripture I said he majorly forgot to quote. That he freely gave us his only begotten son. How much more will he do what? Freely give us all things. What seed did you sow? I said, bros, you know, don't worry. You know, when out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This thing has been in my mind. Now, just make me talk out. But where I was going is that, you see, you can make something that's true wrong when you have the wrong motive. And why was the motive wrong? I mean, how did they make it wrong? Because it was used to raise money for ministry. If you had generally taught Christians, be cheerful givers. If you had generally taught Christians, God supplies all your need according to his riches in glory. And you not join the two. Do you understand? You will have seen that doctrine will have prospered. That is the truth. The real doctrine of prosperity will have prospered. You will have seen Christians You will have seen Christians that know self-denial. And I still know Christians like that. And God helping all of us, that's what we are supposed to be. Christians that know self-denial. That is, God prospers a man like Joseph, we used him last time. Yet he understood that his prosperity was not for himself. What was it for? To save lives. He said to his people, I have become a father to Pharaoh. Why? To preserve your lives. To keep all of you. I have become a father to Pharaoh. It's not one of the reasons God gave it to me. One of the reasons did not include taking vengeance for evil done against me. I hope you're getting my point. So, you meant it for good. Even, you know what they said? When they asked him, your father said you shouldn't punish us. You know what he said? Am I now in the place of God? What was he trying to say? That's God's portion. Who he will punish, who he will not punish. It is not the portion of the wealth or the influence I have attained in life. That is, he denied himself, took up, in quote, his cross, and followed the Lord Jesus. I'm praying to Christians again, deny yourself. Giving offerings is self-denial. It's not an investment. Let me say it again. I'm happy for what Benny Hinn has said. This is not a bragging point. You are all witnesses. What I've been preaching for a very long time. I've said it. It has given me problems. People have said I'm causing problems in Enugu. I'm not joking, no. One brother in the church he attends somewhere. I won't tell you which part of the country. So he wanted to do a program. So one guy now said, let's invite Pastor Banky now. He said, who? That's his pastor, said Pastor Banky. It's not that guy causing problems in Enugu. That was what he said. I only remove one or two words. He said that one causing problems in Enugu. A pastor has gone to another pastor that they should please come and see me, that I'm causing problems. The pastor is my friend. He said, this guy came and said, we should come and see you. I want him to please not drag me that what I'm doing. Now, what problems am I causing? The same things you've heard me preach. Those of you have heard me long enough. I've not said anything differently. I've just said simple things like calculating 10% and giving to so-called God. I have to say so-called because when we say it belongs to God, if I say, okay, I saw a poor man there and I gave it to him, you will revolt that it belongs to the house of God. I said that that is not the word of God. God has never said it. He has never implied it. Paul never said it. John did not. James did not. They did not. And most importantly, Jesus did not. That's the problem I caused. Then they added another one to it. First fruit. That one is a sin. That one is pure fraud. The title was misunderstanding. When they joined first fruit and said first month salary, that one was pure. Let me not say more than that. That was wrong. That was bad. I felt that was wickedness. That's my personal opinion. That's not the word of God, what I just said now. But I just said, Abba, have mercy on these people. 10% throughout the year. Then the money was not enough. You joined the whole of January to it. One of our sisters sent us a mail that she, please, whether we collect first fruit in Kingdom World, you wanted to send it to us. Why? I said, no, who don't you collect first fruit? Thank you very much. He said, because she took it to her church and the pastor said it's not complete. So I said, okay. It was an email that, listen, pastor, that last year, when I gave the whole complete thing, I suffered so much in February. I couldn't go to work. No money for transport. So I said, all right. This is what you will do. Put in an envelope. Don't talk to the pastor. She'll be in an offering. Just do Abraham, as they are dancing, Abraham's blessing, but dance past the thing and drop it. And don't talk to the man. I say, you go and, you know, that's what I would like to do. You collect a prophetic blessing. Let me expose some things we do, John. He said that, no, you bring the offering tomorrow so I can anoint you with oil. It's a lie. The man wants to be sure how much he raised so that he knows how much. No, I'm saying, God, you know I'm not lying now. He said, tomorrow, the man was supposed to preach Saturday and Sunday and go home. He will wait till Monday. So he can anoint you once. Say, I will wash your hand in oil. I still remember that man. He said, I will wash your hand in oil. I'm like, Meanwhile, let me not go there. I told the sister, I said, sis, please, just drop in the offering basket and don't. She replied, I said, don't worry, sir. I'll spend the money anyway. It's not even remaining again. This was some years ago. I said, brethren, it's not necessary. Listen, when I tell you that if you want to get a new radio station now, that you want to double overnight, we can. I wasn't bragging like just, you know, our faith is big. No, it's cash that I have seen. The way I preach, if you see the way people fall over themselves to give to kingdom, what? That is falling over themselves. I've told you before, many of the radio stations we broadcast on, we don't pay, and they are not free. People will go there and say, how much is it? People take, when they say, we travel for one seminar, a lot of those seminars, we don't spend our money apart from buying fuel and going to the place. People will rent hall, drop money with the hotel that we should eat to. It's out of personal discipline, we'll be watching what we eat. You know, some people will just go there, see food, chop everything. Yeah, this same preaching I'm preaching that they say I used to cause trouble. This same preaching. I've told people, don't sow anything into my life. I'm not soil. I don't want to be growing and weed will be jumping out from behind. I'm like, why you talk like that? Is it truth? I didn't say don't give. I said what? Don't sow any seed. Don't use a covetous heart. As you are giving me something, then my stomach won't settle again. I chop your food, I'll be going to the toilet more frequently. Why? Because the evil heart of iniquity with which you brought the offering, my faith couldn't overcome it because you're my brother, you're my sister, we are joined together. So your iniquity is now giving me diarrhea. Is it good? You say, check out. So there are grace upon Pastor Banky. I covet it. So I was so into his life. The only man who did that in the Bible, his name is Simon the Sorcerer. And the answer he got, your money. You don't use money to tap grace. It's a lie. So when you give to a prophet, listen, the people who give to prophets are not trying to tap. God checks the heart. I remember what Benny Hinn said. When he said it, I laughed. I said, was this not what Benny said? He said, if you can't give because you love Jesus, don't bother giving. Have you not heard me say that more than 100 times? And Brother Benny said, I rejoiced in the Lord. The woman said, in that case, he owed them a refund. The man who said it, you know, he said, in that case, you owe a refund to the people that, I said, bros, he doesn't owe any jack refund. He doesn't owe it. He told you that God will bless you, Abby. And now he's wrong. Did he say give to me? He said give to God. But that's not even the point. What did he do with most of the money? Then you that watch him on television, you thought it was free when he was broadcasting. Go to TBN, collect your refund. I told my friend who sent me the video, I said that man was just, you know, he was angry, he was embarrassed. And he had to come defend himself. But it's not necessary. You should have just left the thing fly. Let God settle himself. But listen to me, brethren. I agree with Benny Hinn. No, I don't need to tell you that. You knew Benny Hinn agrees with me now. It's better to say it. I agree with him totally. And he said, Holy Spirit is tired of it. For a long time, my wife and I will sit there and say, how long will God tolerate this? And then the answer we just had in our hearts is that God said, the people like it like that. What am I going to say? Christianity is self-denial. That's what I just used that one to emphasize. And that's what Ben Hinn said. If you can't give because you love Jesus, then don't bother. What is self-denial? I give because I love the Lord. I give because I love the Lord. I give because I believe in what is being done. I hope you're getting my point. That's it. I believe in the thing that they said is going to be done with the money. Giving is a sign, you know,
Paul talked about proving the genuineness of your love. Giving proves that your love is genuine. That's what it does. The fact is that this is pure self-denial. It's self-denial. We are just denying ourselves. That is, yes, this money could have bought me the latest iPhone or the latest Samsung. But I reasoned about it. That if this word goes on radio in this area, it will change the youth in my locality. Jesus will be glorified. Young people will learn righteousness. So I check it, and what I'm saying is not a joke. So you just read something, look, brethren, let me use my cheap phone. I'll change my phone next year. What are you getting out of it? He said he will see the result of the travail of his soul, and he will be satisfied. I said one of our brothers, he works with us financially in Kingdom Word. He said one day he gave somebody a lift, a young woman. And the lady was listening to one of our messages. So he just mentioned to her, like playing it on the phone. All right, like in their neighborhood. Lady was playing the phone. Ah, what is that? Ah, the lady started talking. Ah, you didn't know Pastor Banky? He was just talking. He didn't see anything. He dropped her off, just like going down the road, got to where she's stopping. I'm stopping down, sir. Okay, God bless you. Thank you very much, sir. She came down and left. And he said, smiled to himself and said, my money is working. That's what the Bible means. He will see the result of the travail of his soul and he'll be what? Satisfied. This is hundreds and hundreds of kilometers away from Enugu. Did not know that maybe somebody you see in your work area. Did not know the person was a Christian, anything. Let me just, you are going this way. Enter the car. Let me give you a lift. I say, so this word has spread. He was just picking, some words from her. Okay, how did you get to know him? Oh, I didn't see him on radio. A friend of mine said, so I go to his website. I download the messages. Oh, okay, you should try. He didn't say he had my personal phone number. He didn't say that the guy is my friend. He didn't say anything. Just dropped her off. And then later on called me and said, oh, God, please, can I say something to you? I said, what? He said, my money is working. I said, that is a Christian's attitude. It's not her. After I sowed that seed, within 6 months, doors opened. Who wants open doors today? You will not do something you have not done before. All that seed you sow under such circumstances is not a labor of love, it's a labor of selfishness. You are sowing to your flesh, you are not sowing to the spirit. How do Christians give? They give because they believe in the thing that is the object or the person, whatever it is that they are giving to, and they are happy. Let me tell you how Christians give. Imagine a man, he has an only child, and the boy is very sick. And then they say, he needs certain drugs. Say, what do I need to do? You need to spend that amount of money. The guy looks, no one to borrow from. He doesn't have a house yet. The only plot of land he had, he sold it to treat the boy. The only car he has, he sells to finish the treatment. Do you know what will make him glad? Then one day the boy is discharged from hospital. No, just think about it. He will hug that boy, hug him, squeeze him. Thank God. Lord, thank you. It has not crossed his mind that he sowed a seed. For him, is he worth it? It's determined by, does the boy live or he dies? And even if the boy were to die, he still won't regret selling the land. You know that? He will still take pride in that, I did what I had to do. That's what he will still take pride in. I did what I had to do. When your only son was sick, that's when you lost your land. What was I supposed to do? Refuse to treat him? That's when you lost your car. What was I supposed to do? Refuse to not treat him? And every boy recovers. And they say to say thank you to God, you need to sell your fridge. You know he will sell the fridge too. And what is he gaining from it? Is, you know, every day, I see things. You know, as you grow older, you get more sensitive to some things. One of the things I thank God for a lot these days, you just mean on driving on the road, I just shake my head. And I say, Lord, thank you for love. Love, L-O-V-E, love. That is sometimes, I'm just walking. I just see a woman walking on the road with her little child, that kind of thing. And I see the way she's behaving. Sometimes she appears harsh. Sometimes she's kind. Whatever it is, I just see dedication to another God's creature. Ha! I see this is what they call what? Love. And she's not thinking, what am I going to get out of this? They're not even thinking about it. This is just love. And you know, God even planted in some animals. Don't go near a dog that has puppies. God had wired into them, they will fight you. Why? To defend the puppies. That's why they bite sometimes. They've been known to bite people in the household. I've seen a hen attack our dog when we're young. And Tipsy, was it? Yes, Tipsy was that dog. And Tipsy was not a soft dog. You know some dogs that when you do like this, they will run. Tipsy. He stood his ground, though, but I saw this hen attack. The dog didn't run. When this hen attacked, the guy tried to bite the hen back. The hen will back up, attack the dog again. Ah! You know the fear? Why? She had chicks. She had chicks. And the dog was just going its own. I remember that our dog didn't, and he liked to, it didn't cause trouble for anybody. It's only if you cross his path. But the hen mistook his advance as an attack on her territory. Charged at the dog. I see such that I say, ha, this is love. Love for chicks. Chick. Chick. So when people love, they sacrifice willingly. Are you getting my point? Let me say it to you again. Every money somebody has given so that God can multiply it, God did not accept it. It doesn't make sense. He never blesses disobedience. Like that man who was talking, that he was healed by power of $1,000 seed or whatever seed. I said, look, forget this thing. Don't let God collect that healing back. I felt like sending him that message I preached a few weeks ago when I talked about blessings on credit. I said, God blesses on credit. He knows that if I don't heal you now, you will die. When you die now, I mean, what are we going to do about it? So let you are stupid, you don't know anything, but we'll heal you anyway. You will learn later when Benihin repents. Instead of you now, correcting yourself, you want to be arguing. Huh. Because those who genuinely love, they don't need this cajoling. Paul said to the Philippians, to the Corinthians, this is to prove the genuineness of your love. Listen, Christianity is self-denial. We deny ourselves for everything. Of course, all of them under God. We deny ourselves for our loved ones. Do you get my point? We deny ourselves for our friends. We deny ourselves for our friends. I know one man. I heard the story. Okay, I think his pastor came to tell me the story. Mine is in prison, still in prison till today, from what I know. Big man, you know, big military man. But there was an issue that happened, somebody died along the way and all of that. So they rounded him and some other guys up. And it's a high-ranking military officer. And they were jailed. And people tried to pull, you know, strings, everything, to get him out. You know why he's still in jail? He said, if you are getting me out, you are getting everybody out. So they left him in prison. Leave me there. And I'm not talking about 2 days, old, not 3 years, old, not 5 years. Old. He said, forget it. I'm not leaving here and leaving the other guys. That's what, I don't know whether he's a believer or not, but that's what people are doing. The Christians can't give until you promise them something. And Christians can't give. Look, listen, Christianity is self-denial. It's self-denial. You live for something else apart from yourself. Yes, I could have built that big house, but I've checked the other things I could do with that money. I could have gone here, but what about the people that I'm mentoring here? No, my brother said it that time, where he was working. That's when he read the book, Don't Quit the Army. He got a job in a bank. They assigned his papers, everything, time to leave. They stumbled into the office to come and do something. Just picked one of our books, read the back. And he went back to the secondary school where he was teaching. The bank had given him the job. Just come and collect posting. He has signed his guarantor from everything just to come and collect posting. He never went back because he read the book titled Don't Quit the Army. And he realized the way I'm working right now, he thought of the young men, the young boys, young girls. No, I don't, maybe a boys' school or something. It's a boys' school, yes. Thought of the young boys that he mentors, that he teaches, that he trains. I said, no, not now. That's the Christianity. It's called self-denial. It is self-denial. We deny ourselves. We deny ourselves. Listen, we deny ourselves. And listen, no, I began all of this, but I'm going to explain something. Let me get back to it, okay? I think I should get back now to what I was saying earlier. I hope we can get to our message for today, which we have been trying to get to since last week. But you know, you just keep preaching. Like I always say, we'll be back again next week. So let's keep preaching. Listen, it's in little things we are sowing the seeds, you understand? For the destiny of tomorrow, for great things. It's in little things. We are sowing the seeds. You know, I went into all of this. I know where I went into that. It's been a while ago. I'll try and get back there, but I just need to finish delivering this. So those seeds of self-denial starts in little things. It's not in great things. My experience in life, I've never taken anybody serious who promised that, Oga, one day, we're going to give kingdom word 10 million naira. As you are saying it, I'm forgetting it. In fact, please don't tell me anything like that. I hope you get my point. Don't come and tell me. Wait till the day you give it, then you tell me, say, okay, it was me. Hey, and I'll go, thank God for your life. No, I'm saying so. Those who say such things, they are not going to give you 10 million. Forget it's a lie. You know those who give you 10 million? Those who are giving you 10 naira now. Thank you. Those who are giving you 20 naira now. Who are giving you 1,000? Who are giving you 5,000? Who are giving you 10? According to what God has given them. But the man that will have his 200 naira now, work it all by himself. Have 5,000, work it all by himself. I keep on explaining that economy is hard. Things are hard. Things are hard. When he has 10 million, he also have what to do with it. Please hope you're getting my point. So there's a little things. Let me just take young people. That is how you give offerings. Don't wait till you are rich. Wait till you have the opportunity. That's all. Not till you are rich. As soon as you come out from school, even what am I talking about school? You are in school. They give you money. Small extra money you have. Share with your friend. That's where offering giving comes from. It's not when you wrap it. You know, tie it with rope and say, this is the Lord's. And I see Christians do things like that. And they don't read their Bible well. If you read the Bible, you will do some of those things. Jesus said that. He said, this one I could have helped my parents with. It's been given to God. So you make the word of God of no effect by your traditions. And then let me not get into idolatry that Christians practice. Let me just sit on my message. So giving starts from little things like sharing with your friend. Giving thanks for things like you are going to school, your parents give you money to go and buy clothes, and you know you have a good friend in school. He doesn't come with such money, so he has a habit of wearing shirts that are like the one the Israelites finished with in the wilderness. So when they dropped it, the anointing left it. The aging of 40 years showed up. You see that? And then you've always wanted this Armani shirt. Except that the Armani shirt buys 8 regular shirts. You know what I'm talking about. You know what God says? It's called self-denial. You come to the regular level. Yes, your father is rich. We know. But there's nothing wrong with wearing regular shirts. You won't die. You know, like I told you, the little things of life. You will not die. Just that you can't show up to the babes. That's all. That's all. Nothing more than that. And if, in case you don't know, genuine babes are not impressed anyway. So all the fake ones who you don't need in your life that are impressed. All the ones that are still following Iniedo. All the ones that are following Kim Kardashian. You see them on Instagram. And their likes is for fashion. You should know girls that are not going anywhere. Look somewhere else, so please, I'm telling you. They're never giving you a book to read. How should you have friends like that? It's called, you know, the Bible says like, it's like a gold ring in the snout of a pig. So is a beautiful woman without discretion. This Bible is wicked. You see, get away, fine from here to tomorrow. All she can discuss with you is Kim Kardashian. Just say, led pig. It's true.
All you young women that are here, go home and go and tune your brain to serious things. Go and know what's Brexit, at least. Let me get back. Self-denial is simple. Instead of buying that one expensive shirt, I look. I buy the cheaper ones. You know why? Because now I can share. That's self-denial. Some boys will come to school and be feeling cooler than you. Tell them all shirt is grass. Okay, let's quote the scripture correctly. All flesh is grass. And the goodness thereof are like the flowers of the field. So leave that thing. Don't even be impressed. Self-denial is buy the cheaper ones because with that you can buy more. Are you getting my point? And then tell your friend, deliver him from the wilderness experience. He said, oh, thank you. God bless you. Do you know God? That's what he's counting. We're talking about self-denial. That's how we sow the real seeds. It's not we'll get them and say, in the name of Jesus, I claim. No. No. This is where God is deciding who he will pour real faith into their hearts and who he will not. Because the Bible says neither the circumcision or circumcision promise anything, but faith which does what? Works by love. That's Christianity. It's called self-denial. I've had issues with, you know, that people like, take power in Nigeria. You know, power in Nigeria is very funny. How people know that power in Nigeria is very funny? God is answering the prayers. When demons are being cast out, they have a way of just checking and checking. A lot of the energy that distribution companies distribute are stolen. You know what they call stolen? People who use and refuse to pay. They are culpable to a large extent also, because if you don't meter people enough, like the other day, Rocky and I were analyzing that, listen, the way they do estimated billing is a loss to them. I don't want to go into that now to take me from my message, but it's a huge loss. They are just, it's a stupid idea. They should invest money in billing, in metering people. Estimated billing causes a lot of loss because most people that you bill, if you bill them heavily, they don't pay if it's very heavy. Those who bill moderately, they use more than you are giving them, more than you are billing them. If you feel it's in a small flat, you think, it's cooking with wire. It has a bakery at the back. Electric stove. You don't know where your power is going. At the end of the month, you give him 10,000. Say, this bill is high now. The guy has made 50K. He doesn't buy gas again. Anyway, like I said, that's not part of the message. Look, power issue. The gist is too much. So, a lot of them is stolen. And then some of the stealing thing. Do you know those who do it? The engineers of the theft? The power officials. Oh, they are the ones that show you how to bypass the meter. You don't know how to do it now. There are places where they will let the people know the inspectors are coming. They will come and help you remove the bypass. People will bypass their air conditioners, which is the number one consuming thing in the homes. They bypass straight to the power line, and there are other things will go through the meter. And who did it for them? The power people. That's why they started hanging meter on pole. Even then, some of them still do. When they came to install my meter the other day, I was not in town, so our tall reverend helped me to talk, meet the people. They were saying that there's something they would do that. Say, just install your meter and go. No. If they do it like this now, just install your meter and go. I said, don't answer them. All they are looking for is money. That if you just give them some money, say, when you help you do it, that the meter will run slowly. I said, of course, Yinka just told them that, thank you very much. We are not interested. Hang your meter and go. Now, this is where I'm going. One reason why I would not take up your offer of let's do this or that is this. First, of course, is common unrighteousness. You understand my point? We don't want to be thieves. All right? Why do we want to steal? All right? If you're a thief in the house, say amen. So you're not a thief. Neither am I. So we are righteous, the righteous people of God in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Now this is where I'm going. The second reason, which for me is most important at this point, is that I don't want anybody to remove my ability to pray for the power sector.
Because once you become an energy thief, you automatically cannot pray in that area. I hope you're getting my point. It's called self-denial. So sometimes denying yourself is costly. You will pay more taxes than other people. You know when have you ever been in traffic? Everybody's scattering traffic. You know, Nigeria is very common. There's a queue. People just avoid the queue of traffic. They shun. Then it will now block in front. You know the way it works. One of the reasons why I try my best, you know, sometimes you go, they pinch your body like this, is that I just said there has to be order. There has to be order. Somebody has to sow the seed for the order. Listen, you die for things that you want to improve. That's just the way it is. Jesus died to save the world. Do you hear what I said? I hope that truth is clear to you. That it will change a system, you often suffer under it first. When I say suffer under it, that is the way by which you would have avoided that suffering will include breaking rules. And because you love righteousness, which is the reason why God is listening to you, it will make you suffer. That's why Jesus went to the cross. There's a kind of voice that the child of God, actually not just the child of God, any person, now when I say the child of God, I mean Christian, any person that has been treated unjustly, there's a kind of voice with which they speak and it resounds in heaven. So when a person is a believer and he suffers unrighteousness, injustice, and he or she speaks, he speaks differently. So sometimes God just allows them to experience it. So that is why sometimes you have been overbilled. People say, let's help you cut it, let's join, let's bypass it. No, say no. I'm amongst those praying for power to be constant in the nation. So I will, in quotes, suffer for righteousness' sake. Do you get my point here? Yeah, that's the way it works. That is the way it works. One of my friends, one sister, when we were in Lagos, she told me something then. She's from a family where they have, I think they are all girls, like the children of the family, or they have a lot of them. Their father is a Muslim. Now, but all the girls are Christians. Very common in Western Nigeria. Very, very common. A man is a Muslim, his children are Christians. It's very common, you know. You find the wife is a Christian, then the children, they just end up being believers. That is, they go to church and all of that. So that was the situation in this home. And the man didn't mind until wedding time. The girl now said she wants to marry. The father now said there's no problem. But you are coming to wedding in the mosque. Now, let me tell you the truth. The understanding I have today, you can't elope. You know what they call eloping? You can't go away without the father, your father giving you out in marriage. You can't. And the man said the only condition under which he will do it is that she will come and wed in the mosque. So she will become Hadiza. No, Hadiza is not, we don't do that in Western Nigeria. She will become, give me a Muslim name now. Thank you, Rashidat. Salamat, thank you. And the brother will now become Rashidi. Just for the evening. And they will go and do everything. And they go back to church and give praise, you know? A lot of people do it. But the lady said she's not going to do it. Told her father, I'm a Christian, you know. I want your blessing. I want you to give me out in marriage, but I'm not coming to the mosque. The man said, okay, forget it now. This thing dragged though. First year, man didn't change his mind. Second year, didn't change his mind. It's not a story of 6 months. I don't know how many years they sat on it. And the brother was very patient. Love is good. Yeah, he was telling me about love just now. After a long time, of course, with prayer and everything and counseling, that is, people talking to the father, they kept on praying. They would talk to one uncle, go and beg him. Finally, the man agreed. Of course, he didn't come for the wedding. But he gave his blessing. But they could go and wed in the church. Maybe registry, he will go and all of that. But this is where I'm going. You see where I'm going. Now, the sister, that's the elder sister, the major reason she did that, it was not because she understood faith. That my friend is one of the younger girls. The youngest girl, I think, in the house. She was telling me the story of her eldest sister. They are all Christians. That, do you know why her sister did that? That the sister said, it wasn't because she had the kind of faith that some of us think we have. No. She just said that, I have a lot of younger sisters. I need to fight this fight for them. I don't know what I heard. I said that she said this. All of this is not about me, but I have to win this one for the rest of them. I'm not eloping. I'm not running away. I will wait until this man changes his mind. And of course, the man understood that if this girl stands like this, all the younger ones are going to do like this. And he knew the number of daughters he had. After a long, it took time. It's not 2 days. It took a few years. The man finally backed down. And the girl said, I've won the victory, not for myself, but for everybody else. That's what Christianity is. It's called self-denial. It's called self-denial. If you read Brother Andrew's God Smuggler, he said when he used to travel then, he met a couple somewhere in the other Romania, Bulgaria, one of those Eastern Bloc countries. Poor. They were poor. They were suffering. The whole neighborhood was deserted because people had run away to the West, found their way out to go and get a better life in the West. So when he was leaving, he now asked them, why have you not left? Because they were in poverty. They were in the rural area. There was nothing, you see. Why have you not left now? And this man looked at him like, what? You know, like with surprise in his face. Ah, who will stay behind to pray? That was just his own like, ah, no, now, what are you talking about? We have to redeem this land. Other people have gone, no, that's their own portion. Our portion is to stay behind and pray. So when you hear that communism collapsed one day, you hear that the great serpent fell. People were seeing vision of a great red serpent that something beheaded. It's because of people like that. It was not easy. Even their own children had gone. They were alone. And they told Brother Andrew, we have to stay behind to pray. That is what Christianity is. It's self-denial. It is self-denial. It is self-denial. Some people will go and join Nigerian police, no matter whether you like police, don't like police. Do you understand? It's your problem. But God will put you there. You will join. You become an ASP. ASP. When they become an assistant commissioner, whatever. Then you have trouble. Did I say you did? I forgot that part. You will see what they call persecution. But that persecution is a right to pray. All of us are praying. The average citizen is praying. The average person is praying. But then God now takes the man inside and says, go there. You start praying from inside. Of course, you don't soil your hands, you don't do anything that you criticize normal that people do, which means you have a lot of financial issues and all of that. He says, stay there and pray. When you have finished praying, then you see change happen. Jesus was not born free of charge. Hannah was there praying. I hope you're getting my point. Simeon was there praying. And there are people who prayed in different parts of the world. I am convinced of that. Before salvation came. Christianity is self-denial. How did I get into this? Talking about sowing small seeds, right? Yes. So let's get back to the message. So we deliberately do little things. Because that is a basis upon which great things happen. Four areas we've been looking at by which we build our faith. One, remind me. Yes. Number one, we interpret our lives. Now, the word is deliberately. Not whether it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. We deliberately say, what did the Bible say about this? Number two, we generate our expectations, both for the assignments we have in life and for what we are supposed to receive in life from the Word of God. Three, precepts. We deliberately build. How do I do business? This is how I do my business. How do I run my home? These are the rules by which I run my home. Everything is built on the Word of God. Then, last of all, the words that we speak. You know, I've been trying to talk about that since last week, but I just have not been able to settle on it. I was hoping that I'll finish that one today, but today we ended up speaking about self-denial. Last time I spoke about avoiding enemies of destiny. But let me just try and introduce again today. I hope I can finish it. So the last one we said is what? The words that we speak. Our Bible reading today was taken from Numbers chapter 14. And the reason why we read that is to see how people's words condemned them. Paul said they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Now that unbelief reflected in the words that they spoke. But I want us to understand also that of course the people spoke because of what filled their hearts. We talked about that last time briefly. So we must be careful to fill our hearts, all right, so that we can say the things that are right in the ears of God. But you see, that portion we read, you see the emphasis was laid on what they said. And God used expressions that are interesting. If you use my Bible, New American Standard, he said things that these people have conspired against him. If you read verse 35, he said, I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do to all this evil congregation who have gathered together against me. Now that's one word there. In this wilderness they shall be destroyed and they will die. Now you see, the problem they had were the things that came forth from their mouths. That is, they said, we are not able to go in. Why did they say that? They were reacting, alright, to the things that they saw around them. And that's what I want to talk about briefly. Children of God, be careful when you react to things around. Your words are counting in the heavens. Those words are being used. You know, there's something they call, is it the Miranda or Mirinda law? Miranda. That's the rule of when you're arresting people. They say you have the right to remain silent. Now, know something about that rule. Is there anything you say can be used against? Hey, is that against? That's my point. The against. Why not in your favor? What when you're arresting? I said, I didn't do it. Just use it in the court. No. Use against you. And we've seen these things are very powerful. I like the way they say it in the law. You have the right to do what? Remain silent. My personal advice to Christians is if you don't know what to say, be silent. Rule number one, be silent. Don't say anything. Let me say it this other way. Until you have discovered what God expects you to say about the situation, shut up. Lest you say things that will be used against you. In law, one of the most powerful of evidence you have is the testimony of the accused when he goes against himself. That is why police will do anything to make you confess. Because once you are the one that says it, that's it. That's the best that they have. I watch a lot of crime, you know, documentaries on TV in which there's no way they can solve that crime. But the suspect is the man who did it. So they use all kinds of methods just to get him to say something. It's those words that are most powerful. And the truth is that it's also like that in the realm of the spirit. Israel did not enter the promised land simply because they said, we can't. That's it. They just said, we cannot. Let's not talk about Israel because we all know the stories about Israel. Let's talk about us today. First, let me say something quickly to everyone listening. When God got angry with the Israelites, I hope you understand that they understood, they thought that what they were saying were justified or was justified. For example, when they say we can't enter, you know what it means? I'll tell you. You want to go to battle. You don't have too many weapons. Your average height is half of the average height of the people you are fighting. They are living in fortified cities. You don't have a proper army. They have proper trained soldiers. And you have children that you are supposed to protect. And all those kind of things. It made sense. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It was reasonable that they said they couldn't enter. And that one I want you to understand. If you are hungry and you are single, you know it's not a very difficult thing. You're going to visit somebody. Hey, guys, when they happen for this house, whatever they eat, they give you. And if there's nothing, you will sleep. But it's very terrible when you're hungry and you have 3 children who are now hungry because of you. It's very painful. You could have withstood that pain all by yourself. But when they now come and tap you, Daddy, I'm hungry. They will see you go to the bathroom. You're not going to eat. You want to go and cry so that they don't see it. You're hungry, I'm coming. You close your eye, you bang your head against the wall. You cannot withstand that hunger. Boy, somebody, do you get my point? Now, so get what I'm trying to explain. So when Israel went to Moses to go and complain about thirst, you should understand what they were going through. They had good reasons. Do you know they were not justified? That still made God so angry. He wanted to destroy them. What am I trying to say? You tried to go to Onitsha, and you have spent 4 hours trying to cross Oka. It's justified to grumble, isn't it? Humanly speaking. And you know, I want to talk about grumbling a bit. And don't think those people turn to God and say, God, it'll not go better for you. How are you going to bring us for here? They never said that. They did not directly speak against God. Who would do that? They spoke against who? Moses. They spoke about their circumstances. Would that we had died in Egypt. At least we'll get a decent burial. They said, oh, now they did not speak against God. Many people who are speaking against the head of state of Nigeria today, or the governor of their state, or the situation of their economy, they don't know they are speaking against God because they don't mention his name. Israel also did not mention his name, yet they were guilty of grumbling against him. So I have a word for every child of God here today. Until you know exactly what to say, shut up. That is that which will please God. You don't speak according to what is right. One of my colleagues, of course, I had a charged group of colleagues in the office then that everybody talked. One day I was tired. I said, you people, they are all doctors, so I could use medical expression. I say, talking to you guys is a guaranteed etiologic factor for clinical depression. I still have the chat. I said, I wake up in the morning, you guys are whining and complaining. I said, in case you have forgotten, you are the cream of this society. You earn much more than the average person. Most of you are talking own houses, your own land, you have all of that. All you do is complain every day. Why can't you even thank God for once? One said, God knows I'm grateful. It's in my heart. I say, hey. It's not true. It's not there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Early one morning, while they all slept, I exited the group. Somebody told me later that they were abusing behind my back. What difference does it make? And I said, last time, protect your face. I said, no, I can't join this kind of talk. And I've told you, my experience has been that when you mix Christians, at least nominal Christians in Nigeria, even Pentecostal Christians, tongue-talking Christians who do pray fire prayers, when you mix them with Muslims, the Muslims have a better positive attitude towards life, at least Northern Muslims. I can tell, that is, one day I rebuked a whole group of professionals mixed from all over Nigeria. The only people that gave me thumbs up were Muslims. And what I told them is simple. Why do you grumble so much? There's so much that God has done for us. Why do we look at another man's country that is, I said, did people not build that place? They're not looking like, what's wrong? I said, all the people that gave me thumbs up, Muslims. And they're now telling me, why should Buhari be president? Let me tell you the truth, if I was God, no, see, I'm not joking about what I'm about to tell you. I will make another Muslim the next president. As long as the Southern Christians continue to behave like this. Yes, it starts as spiritual things work. Because on the average, they demonstrate more faith. They contribute more faith into the environment. On the average. Listen, one of my own assignments in life, that's my major assignment, is just to tell Christians, behold your God, behave properly, contribute faith into the environment. When you are speaking in such a manner that God will be pleased, let me tell you ahead of time, most times, you will be unreasonable. Most times, now people, I've talked to a point, people tell me that, it's like, is this government settling you? At one day, I now sat down and composed a response to them. I said, I'm performing a Christian duty. That what I'm doing is a Christian duty. It is the job of a Christian to speak the way I'm speaking. It does not mean you don't see anything that is wrong. It only means that when you see what is wrong, you go and pray. But when you want to open your mouth to speak, grumbling, criticisms must not come from your mouth. It's called murmuring against God, even though you don't mention his name. If God were to show us the way he judges, Kai will be surprised. Let me just summarize it so that we can go home. This is the point I'm making. When Israel began to grumble, they didn't mention God's name. But it was a sin against him. And when they grumbled, it was based on facts that they had. They were not imagining things. That is, they don't think you have things worse than they had. Because, you know, as a child, what's wrong with these people's self? You know, when we're reading, get angry. What's wrong with these people's self? With everything that God has done for them. Look at them. God brought them by mighty power. You know what? There's nothing God did for them. He has not done for you. And you murmur more than they did. Let me prove it to you. There's nobody that's alive now here that God has not delivered from death. Yes, whether you know it or not. Ask Israel. When the tanker exploded in front of him, he jumped out of Onitsha South vehicle and was running for... Ask him. People were being burnt while he watched. He said he jumped out there. They were racing. Fire was racing after them. He saw people's skin. This way, it was melting off their body. So, look. Whether you know about it or not, God has delivered you from death. So, if you were to say, what's wrong with Israel? I don't mean this Israel now. I'm talking about the Israel of the Bible. Ask yourself, what is wrong with me? Because just like you have things to grumble about, they also have things to grumble about. And the Bible calls it murmuring against God. Let me end it here. Never open your mouth to speak about situations until you know what God is pleased with in that situation. Lest you be guilty of murmuring against him. That's what I'm talking about. Remember we're talking about what? Being our faith. We must be what? Deliberate. It's deliberate. I pray, oh God, you know, this preaching thing, so many things to say. There are different aspects of life. Eh? You just get up, make up your mind. Which words? Let me tell something about words. You know what David said? Let's read this particular scripture, then I close with it. Maybe I continue on that point next time. Psalm 19. Okay, let me start from verse 7. To be nice to read these verses and close with them. To the end of the chapter. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. He now said, who can discern? Now follow this. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Now just for you to understand, presumptuous sins are the ones you do knowing they are wrong. There are errors, you don't understand that one. Then acquit me of hidden faults, sins you can't just help doing. He said, let them not rule over me, that is all these sins. Then I will be blameless and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Now verse 14 is what I wanted to read. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Why I read this is to bring out the fact that words can be pleasing to God. There are words that are pleasing to him. There are words that are displeasing. And what do we do as believers? We deliberately learn the words that are pleasing to God. In every situation, there are words that are pleasing to God. And the assignment we have as Christians, just go and learn them. That is, it's not how you feel like. Let me give an example. You know, young boys, or young girls, I don't know about young boys these days, we had this habit of using negative words to describe ourselves. I don't know whether you remember. Did you ever do that? They are still doing it till now. It's like, it has to be, and it's fun. That's where I'm going. It's supposed to be fun. So, boy, this foolish boy don't come, and everybody will laugh. The guy is not foolish. He's saying, you know, you just have to say something funny. And we decided that saying words like that It's funny. And it became a habit. But as I began to grow as a believer, I realized that those words are displeasing to God. There are things you say, the Holy Spirit will leave. The Bible talks about quench not the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit with words. You utter some statements and the Holy Spirit is saddened. Now, what I'm talking about is the deliberate action. I'll give you the example before. The Bible says like a madman casting firebrands and arrows, so is man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? Well, just a joke. Now, do you know what? It was painful to stop doing April Fool. April Fool was a fun day. But the moment we read that on campus, bye-bye to Jati Jati, according to Midnight Crew, we said that's the end. Now, that fun, remember I said Christianity is what? Self-denial. That fun, we liked it too, but we said these words are displeasing to God. The Bible says we should learn to approve the things that are excellent, not the things that we enjoy. Certain words are displeasing. Certain words are pleasing. So let me end it here. Let us make it a point of duty as believers to learn those words that are pleasing. There are words you use. The Lord is just excited. Let me give an example. Israel is about to take the promised land. They are afraid, as an example. Caleb looks, Joshua, what do you think? Oh boy, is that a human being? He asked the other guys, what do you guys think? Yeah. What do you say? We thank God, he's good and he's on the throne and his kingdom endures forever. Have you noticed something? You said nothing about the giants. I hope you get my point. You've not addressed the situation. But instead of saying something that is fear, that is, I express the fear that is inside your heart, you decide to give God praise. The best would have been, yes, our God is with us. He's God in heaven and we'll take this land. But you didn't have the faith. So just stop it where you know, there are some places you can't go wrong in some things. What do you think? The Lord is good and his mercy endure forever. You sure? Forever, he is God. You know, God, it would have been better if they said, if we die, let's die here. And then we died in the will of God. Amen? Amen. You know, God would not have judged them. You know why? Because they uttered words. That's what the Bible calls acceptable words. What am I teaching to believers? Go home and learn acceptable ways to speak. You know, when you are angry, Americans have filled the atmosphere with so much negative way of reacting to shock, to anger. And all of them, negative four-letter words. Some of them mean poo-poo, you know, dung. And they turned it to swear words. And you know what I found out? A man must swear. It's a habit. So you know what I did? I said, what is the acceptable way to swear? In quotes, you know what I mean? To utter angrily. Simple. So I deliberately cultivated a new one. When you do something, I say, hey, Jesus is Lord. You know, he's Lord. Amen? Say it 50 times, he's Lord. Amen? Amen? Whatever you say, he's Lord. Amen? Do you understand? You can never be wrong. Do you know what? It took me a few months. It's not my reflex reaction. And they know the day I felt very happy. This is my boy, that's my son. Okay. One of his younger ones, I saw him do like this. Jesus is Lord. I said, Father, I thank you. Are you getting my point? That this habit is becoming a habit. Are you getting my point? But what I'm talking about is it was deliberately chosen. It did not come spontaneously. It was a choice that let us use words that are acceptable. The other ones that feed our hearts from watching movies, from reading books, from having conversation in modern days. Then we said, no, let us choose what? Acceptable words. Let's give it a lot of thanks for the word of today. Say, Lord, thank you for always filling my heart with truth. Now, thank God for healing. I told you it was going to happen. It's going to happen. Thank God for direction. No, that one is normal. When people get clarity as these words are coming forth. Say, Lord, I thank you for direction. I thank you for clarity. I thank you for healing. Thank him for the understanding that he gave to you. Thank him for the knowledge of self-denial. Say, Lord, self-denial. Self-denial. I walk in self-denial. So that I thank you for light, for clearing away darkness, for separating darkness from my light.
Just thank the Lord for the understanding that has entered your heart. Thank the Lord, and as you do speak words, say that, Father, I thank you because I continue to walk in self-denial. I go forth empowered. I walk in self-denial. I deny self to please you. I live in a manner that is pleasing to you at whatever cost. Say, Lord, I live my life to make it pleasing to you. Blessed be your name, eternal Father. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's rise to our feet. Let's share the grace so we can go home. The Lord is good in your life. Give me an amen.
Amen.
I'm declaring it now. I'm not asking. I say the Lord is good in your life.
Amen.
The Lord is good to you.
Amen.
The Lord is good to you, spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is filling you with the knowledge of his will.
Amen.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
You are walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
Amen.
You are pleasing him in all respect.
Amen.
You are bearing fruit in every good work.
Amen.
And continually increasing the knowledge of God.
Amen.
The words that have come forth today has stamped you with God's goodness.
Amen.
Protection.
Amen.
Favor.
Amen.
Protection. That is, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
See, you've heard stories of armed robbery, kidnapping, this and that. It will not come near you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
12 midnight, at home, on the road, safety is your portion.
Amen.
12 midday, at home, on the road, safety is your portion.
Amen.
At work, wherever you might be, safety is your portion.
Amen.
Your children, you can't be with them all the time. But the Lord is with them all the time.
Amen.
Your loved ones, I command the blessing of God upon them for your sake.
Amen.
Anyone who will make you cry, you know, by his or her troubles, God will show him mercy for your sake in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord will supply all your needs.
Amen.
The Lord will open great doors for you.
Amen.
Doors of influence.
Amen.
You know, like Joseph, you will be influential.
Amen.
We know the meaning of that now. Like Joseph, you will be influential.
Amen.
You will affect people with your presence.
Amen.
You will affect people with your wealth.
Amen.
You will affect people with your influence.
Amen.
You will affect people with the blessing, the favor, the, you know, the anointing of God and the gift of God in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say this again. No matter what is hurting your body, that pain disappears now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
See, whether it's genetic or it was a mistake you made, or something you did, whatever that started it. They said, who's saying that Jesus should be born blind? Jesus said, neither. But is it him or his parents? He said, don't worry about it. Let me do the work of God that he sent me to do, because I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. God's work is perfected in you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whether it's genetic or acquired in you or in your loved one, I command the healing power of God to touch you now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will have an experience that will make doctors wonder.
Amen.
They will review your case that didn't make a mistake before. God has written the past. That's what happened.
Amen.
You know, I don't believe in the God that does not change the past. My God changes the past. And your past that's negative, he will change in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
One thing I should say again, I said God forgives sin. Let me say it to you again, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
The sins of your childhood, they are forgiven.
Amen.
All you need to do is just say, Lord, I was wrong, and you will be forgiven.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some people, they've been tempting God. You know why? They told them that you can tempt God. For that reason, God will forgive you. Are you getting my point? There are things that people do. It's because somebody lied to them. That's how it is in Christianity. Now you know it's not like that. You won't do it again.
Amen.
But every offense until now, you are forgiven in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm saying that because I'm sure of it. You are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Give the Lord thanks this evening if you believe that. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Let's share the grace and fellowship. Those coming for the first time, open that magazine in your hand to the last page inside. You see the way we share the grace. We release words that are pleasing to God. All right, one, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication, dominion, and manifestation in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly bless the people around you. Say, this is your season. Two more people, please. This is your season. One more person, this is your season. One last one for yourself, this is my season. All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.